I'd like to say hello to everybody and coming to you again the way that we usually do when we're off from home, just here in Florida. And I've been talking with the Lord, and He's been showering my soul with His wonderful blessings. Coming to Florida, different times of my life, I've come down and He's talked with me, even as the time in Miami, Florida, when the Lord came and put the ring on my finger and the angel appeared to us, and at other places in Florida, He has at different times talked with us. And of course, since I've been here, He's been talking with me this morning, and I've enjoyed the little time that I've been away, just kind of riding. Really, I haven't done anything but ride, stopping and riding, you know, just maybe stopping at a store or something, get a sandwich and something, and coming on down, and we just really haven't done anything else. But one thing that I noticed, coming through what they call the Miracle Strip, somehow David turned up and went through the Miracle Strip. I didn't know it till we done passed through, but it is a rubbish pile. That hurricane that came in, it undermined hotels, and it literally took the sand and the foundation out from under them until some of them collapsed. And just in a line, one right after another, they have piles of stuff that's taken out of the hotels and places of living, and it's just piled up in heaps. Furniture and mattresses and all kind of stuff. It's really a real pile of rubbish. And it's just amazing how that we were going along the Miracle Strip not too long ago. And but I was talking about the horrible, hideous carrying on that they have there. And how it was just a place of frolic. And it's so grievous to me. It's been a year so back, and then all of a sudden we come along and God's turned it into a garbage dump. But I thank God that He was merciful and He spared the people to the extent that there was only one that was killed in the calamity. But anyway, it's a good thing to be here this morning talking with you over the telephone and ministering the Word of God. It's so rich, it's so wonderful. And I think about the opportunity that we miss not fellowshipping God and not understanding God. And I was just telling David this morning, I said, you know, David, it's little wonder that people don't serve God. They've never known God. They've never met God. They've never seen God. The Bible said, he that sinneth, he's never known God. And it is a true fact that once you come to know God, there's no way you could sin, because the brightness of His countenance and the wonderfulness of His presence completely does away with the world of sin and darkness, and it brings you into the marvelous light of God. And I considered the wonderful glory of God. Even when Jesus was on the mountain and was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, appearing in glory with Moses and Elijah, you know, and I wondered, I thought, Lord, how could that possibly be? But the Lord spoke to me, and He said, what happened, son, was as a human being, he walked with God so much, though he was a man, just like you're a man, a human being, he walked with God so much, he absorbed righteousness so much, and the ways of God so much, and was so perfect down to the fibers of his body. But as Paul said, this heavenly treasure that's in these earthen vessels, which is the mind of God, and the life and spirit of God, actually made itself manifest in the mortal genes of his body, which is going to happen to everyone that believes. Everyone that is a believer, someday, this heavenly treasure that you already have within your earthen vessel will actually make itself manifest in your mortal genes. And what God is doing right now is transforming your mind from glory to glory. And Christ is the hope of that glory on the inside of you that transformates your mind from glory to glory until you come into the fullness of that wonderful light of the change which is at the end of the church ages, after the tutoring that God has given you through the church ages by grace and virtue of the blood on the seat of atonement. And God has so fixed it to where that you can have the benefit of this wonderful thing. And you know, and I thought now the brightness of God, God kept radiating within Jesus until it came to pass, even as John said when he beheld him on the Isle of Patmos down at the end of the church ages. When John saw him, he turned to look and he said, it was as though the sun was shining in his strength. I thought God, the great light, the great day star, that day star dawning within us that shines more and more unto the perfect day, which is the restoration as to that millennium time. And I thought, now this great, wonderful God of light, as he radiated through Jesus' body, is doing the same thing to my body and to the body of the church, which is the body of Christ. And the kingdom of God within is emitting that light, and that light is emanating from that kingdom within through your angelic being coming into your body to change your body and to redeem your body from death and to keep it from the powers of Lucifer, another angelic force that has stolen the body through the fall and that is misusing the body to the corruption of intellectual desire and the human senses and the exhilaration of the flesh. So I thought it so wonderful. I thought, now here's the glory of God in Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And it says, the sun shining within his strength, as Peter, James, and John beheld this. And here it is at the end of the church ages, John the Beloved, beholding this again, as the sun shining within his strength, he who is the resurrection and the life. And then, you know, I thought again, now here is Christ Jesus, the one that walked through the flames of a burning fire. And he was so aglow, he was so illuminated, he was so glorious. His angelic being from within that human body had made itself manifest within his flesh. And here he is going into the flames of fire to conquer hell for you and I, to conquer death for you and I, and enter into the paradise of God. He said to the thief on the cross, this day shall thou be with me in paradise. And you see, one rejected and one received, because one believed and one doubted. So when you see this Jesus, this wonderful Christ, going through the flames of the fire, he is so aglow, he is so radiant, he is so beautiful, he is so bright, his glory is so exceedingly bright that the flames of hell went out like a candle. They just ceased to be. They had no fury. They had no light. They become very dim at his presence. His glory was so great that it just put those flames to naught. And he walked right through the flames of hell in his glory and in his brightness. And in doing so, it means that the gates of hell cannot prevail against your body, because you're walking right through the flames of hell, and it has no light and no power and no fury to the wonderful light of that day star, of the glory that's dawning within you. And how wonderful that light is, that light of understanding. The Bible said, put on your beautiful garments, O Zion. Your beautiful garment, the prophet spoke of this. That beautiful garment means the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, pulled off the moth-eaten garment of the first man, Adam, that sin and that body in which there is the sentence of death. Put on the body of immortality and the body of light, for now is brought to light immortality. Put on the body of immortality, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. For as many that has been baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. And make no preparations for the flesh as to the desire of the flesh and to fulfill the lust thereof, but put on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, and all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and you are then in a new world. And there's no remembrance in God's mind of the former you or the former things. You are now bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You have been baptized into Christ. You have put on Christ. Therefore, your beautiful garment is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, I counsel of you to bring me or buy me raiment that has been tried in the fire. That is this wonderful body of the Lord Jesus that passed through the flames of the fire. Come into my presence not with the moth-eaten garment of that of Adam, the first man Adam, and the sentence of death, but come into my presence with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that wonderful fountain of life, the Prince of life. Come into my presence as being bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the wedding garment. Don't come into my presence, to my supper, to my wedding, without the wedding garment. You'll not be part of my bride. So then, the spotless garment. Put on your beautiful garments, O Zion, for the time of thy light is come. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let this wonderful light of this great knowledge of God and this understanding of God, let it go to the ends of the earth, for the ends of the earth shall be converted unto thee. And they shall come unto thee, and they shall praise thee, and they shall glorify God within you, and they shall know that I have loved you. For the Lord of hosts shall suddenly return into his temple to be glorified within his saints, that it will be as the sun shining within their strength, that all the world may see their glory. For their angelic being on the inside will be illuminated and interwoven with Christ, his angelic being. For Christ is also an angel. And the brightness of his angelic being filling your body, and that the Bible should be full of the Holy Ghost, this brightness of that angelic being, it is so wonderful that Satan dissipates at his presence. For his light is so glorious that of the approaching light. The Bible said that God will destroy him, even Lucifer, the one that hath power over death, with the brightness of his coming. The brightness of his coming shall completely eradicate, as with the illumination of Jesus Christ. It shall completely eradicate Satan, which is a passing shadow, the shadow of death that is brought by the law and brought by transgression. So then, with Calvary, God completely eradicates it. And with this brightness, it is so great that all of the heavens will pass away and the earth will pass away. The Lord has come so bright in his righteousness, in his finished works. Never a man spake like that man. No man has ever been his equality. This great, wonderful Lord Jesus Christ has become so exceedingly bright and great in his greatness until he outshines the brightness of the noonday to the extent that his presence, at his presence and coming after the restoration of the millennium age, he will actually be so bright that the sea will pass away, the heavens will pass away, the stars and the moon will pass away, all of the earth will pass away, hell will have no veil over it anymore. It will be brought to surface, and everything will be naked in his sight with whom he had to do. And so then this wonderful glory of God that is so wonderful is the angelic Holy Ghost being of Christ himself, interwoven with God the great light until his glory is so great that all of the earth passes away at his presence. You know, and this is what you are going on to. Through the church ages, you're allowing the measure of this according to your own sovereignty and according to your willingness that you, as an angelic being on the inside, you choose this light of his understanding and you choose this glory of his radiation. You choose this wonderful sovereignty of Christ that you want to be an angelic being and you want to change your life and you want to leave the world of vanity, of pride and vexation and lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, all of this world that passes away. You want to leave the world where Satan is the king and the ruler. You want to leave the world of human senses where there's nothing as pertaining to life except your human senses. And you want to leave that. And you don't want to relate to the world with that. But you want to transformate in mind. You want to be born again. His spirit within your spirit, that you may be illuminated as the sun shining within your strength, as the day star dawning within you. That is to say, you want to be an angelic being, and you want to dwell in the angelic world, and you want to be part of God's world, and be an illuminated angelic being, the great light. Angels are lights. And even though when we portray angels in pictures, we put them as women with long hair, and we put them as men, and we make them as to a figure. But angels are not figures. Angels are spirits. And even though they can take a personification as to an image or a figurine, but the thing is, they're not figures. They are spirits. And these are lights. Spirits are lights. As when the shepherds were on the hillside and the angel appeared to them, he came upon them. That was a great light that shone round about them, that came upon them, and then the voice spake. And so then, angels are lights, and they minister, as they did to Jesus, giving him strength as to inspiration within his angelic being, his spirit, when his body was weary, and when Satan was pressing his angelic being from without through the human senses, and pressing him. And so then, when Daniel was in the condition he was in, having been fasting and praying, then all of a sudden he had no strength, and the angel of God came and touched him, and he was inspired and received strength. So these angelic beings, they come to you. They are beautiful angelic lights, and they admire Christ, because Christ, as the songwriter says, he outshines them all. He is an angelic being of a great light that is so exceedingly bright, yet he mastered this world of human figure, and he mastered the Adam world to where he not only is an angelic spirit of this great light and life and abundance of life, but he now is a personification of a human form that he can appear to human beings and be right there and be the same thing they are and be their Lord and their Master and their King in their world. And so then he is seeking to take them from their world and translate them in their angelic being into his world of angelic life, eternal life, and then take them from the hand of Lucifer, which is death, to take the body that has the sentence of death in it, eradicate by his sufferings at Calvary that sentence of death, and then bring them into his presence to change them into immortality, that their body might be altogether holy and godly, and that wonderful, changed, glorified body of light as the sun shining within the strength, like the beautiful city of New Jerusalem. And so then, with this light, God comes to us, and this understanding is that light, a transformation of mind to translate that spirit to bring you to the angelic world and to restore you back to your originality. For Adam was illuminated with that light, but this time the light is springing forth from within you that your body might be changed into this glorious celestial light, that you might feel these inspirations and receive this strength that comes from the angelic beings. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that love him and fear him. He gives his angels charge concerning your body, because it is his body, and it is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And they encamp round about you, keep you. The Bible said, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And so then, the angels watches over your body, and the angels keep you, because they are powers, a power that comes from God that can inspire your spirit. And though you don't see them, unless you move into the spirit and get spiritual eyes of understanding, that is to say, your eyes of understanding being enlightened, you begin to comprehend angelic beings, the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this marvelous world that you're not acquainted with except through the mind of Christ. This world does not exist, the one that I'm speaking of. It does not exist in the human mind, because the human mind has been separated from God through the fall with the sentence of death in the body. And because of thine iniquities, the Bible said it is separated between thee and thy God, and kept thee back from good things. It is not that his hand is short, that he cannot reach, that is, his arm is short, that he cannot reach you, nor his ear dull, that he cannot hear you. Thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God, and has killed your faith, kept you back from the good things God has appropriated in Christ even before the world ever was. And so these angelic beings, they come to you as inspirations, and they're ever present, and this world only exists in the mind of Christ. Your world exists in the natural, and in your natural mind, or in the satanic realms of lying vanity. You know, if we had the time today to really go into Revelation, we'd go back and pick up the trail of the two great lights, one made to rule the day and one made to rule the night, and explain and express these things in a manner of detail to where you could see very clearly that there is a world of darkness and there is a world of light, and there are creatures of darkness, of intellectual darkness, and of which Satan is the god of, as to the lesser light of this great reflection called the moon and the stars that are nothing but nickel and rock that reflect. And then there is a day star, which is the sun, and from that emanates life, and all the world depends upon it. Scientists say if it wasn't for that great ball of fire, the whole world would freeze over. Even in the heart of the earth, there has to be a fire, because if that fire wasn't there, the ocean would freeze up in the bottom. All creatures would die, but God has to keep heated up. So then we see these things working together, and we see that there is the world of light, and there are creatures of light. And that light indicates understanding, and that darkness indicates ignorance. And though we esteem diplomacies and those things of the tree of knowledge as understanding, it is really ignorance. And it is the carnal mind of death that is at enmity with God. For to be carnally minded is death. For the carnal mind is not subject to the things of God, neither indeed can be. Therefore God hath made the creature, even the body, subject to vanity. He hath subjected the creature to vanity by reason of the five human senses upon which it depends for survival. But he hath not subjected the spirit, for the angelic one is free. It is the free child and not the bond child to the beggarly elements of the world, that is. It's not in bondage. It is the angelic being, and this wonderful angelic being, it is translated into the kingdom of God when you are born again. And it is not in the powers of ignorance and darkness, but rather in the world of light, and is gone into the kingdom of God, has been translated into the kingdom of God, and this wonderful light is emanating from that kingdom through a transformation of mind to change you to a diplomacy of change at the end of the church ages, that this wonderful life might be made manifest in your mortal body, which is immortality. For now, immortality has been brought to light, and the Bible said God has destroyed him that has power over death. So we see these wonderful things, and we realize the wonderful treasures that's hid within Christ, and it provokes us to jealousy because it makes us want to be that eternal creature, knowing that everybody's on death row, that they're going into the dark chambers of despair and into the flames that will devour them. It makes us the more want to preserve our youth and life and our strength and all of our treasures in Christ. I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth, the Bible teaches. And, of course, knowing this, the Bible said that godliness is profitable for this world and the world to come. I hope that what we've said has been inspirational to you and provokes you to jealousy, that God might come into your heart in a greater way, and that you might place more emphasis on those things of greater value. For our priorities are not right a lot of times, and our evaluation is improper because we cannot see extensively. So that means that a lot of times we fall into error because of our ignorance. But Paul said, I would not have you ignorant of the things of God. God has given us an understanding that we should know all things. And in this, we come into the world of light, wonderful knowledge of God, which means immortality. So now that immortality has been brought to understanding, We need to press in with all of our hearts. Brother, it's my pleasure to talk with you and visit with you. As always, and you continue to pray for me that God will speak to me and guide me and lead me into the wonderful deep depths of his wonderful understanding and give me the desire of my heart, for that's what he promised. And I believe in that. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. You will lack no good thing if you walk upright before God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to speak to these people as always. Stretch out a healing hand. Father, heal those bodies that I am thinking of right now and picturing within my mind of the listening audience. Father, heal those bodies. Father, deliver those angelic spirits. Let the mighty power of God that I feel right now go into those bodies and those minds. Father, restore their strength and their youth. Father, for service unto thee, anoint them mightily. Oh God, to give them the wisdom, let their light shine to the ends of the earth as they put on their beautiful garments. Heavenly Father, heal and save and forgive and be with them, keep them safe and provide all of their needs. Heavenly Father, watch over their little ones, their loved ones, and keep the home fires burning brightly in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.